I couldn't think of a snappy intro, so I decided to just steal one. Hi there, furries and furries. This is Alex Renard, the best person in the world. About a week ago on Ink Bunny, I posted a journal asking you guys to ask me questions, and I'm going to answer them. With me, as always, is my famous co-star, Dr. Pepper. Making slurping noises all night long. A couple of times before, I've had other people read the questions. I've had like little audio interstitial things. I'm just gonna read stuff tonight and keep it simple. In addition to my Ink Bunny questions, which I'll get to in a bit, I also went to lulz.net/furry and asked some questions there because they hate me, and I figured they would ask me some interesting stuff. So I went over there, kind of asked in a very cheeky manner, told them to ask some stuff. Nothing's off limits except for my social security number, my online passwords, and any questions referring to that video that leaked online of me shoving a banana up my butt. Few people didn't get that. That was a reference to The Amazing Atheist, and that actually happened to him. Look up his video, Bananagate 2011. It's like the perfect response to what any sex scandal should be. Okay, so one of the reasons I like Lulz so much was that, you know, if somebody posts anonymously, it doesn't just say anonymous. You get names like Beatrice Hendlehood and Eugene Blollyhood and Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh, wait, that's a real person. So starting off, Beatrice Hendlehood asks, how about stop posting? Well, you wrote that without a question mark at the end and also not capitalized, so no! Poplar then asks, who? That would be Alex Renard. The best person in the world. Lillian Pixon says, now I've heard of guys being fruity, but this is a bit ridiculous. Drinky asks, what's your social security? 8675309. Two, what are your online passwords? Fred, Dick, and Tom. 3, 4, and 5 are questions relating to you shoving a banana up your butt. Well, since you didn't ask them, I can't answer them now, can I? Some of these aren't actually questions. I'm going to have to scroll through. Dan asks, don't you do music or some shit with some silly-looking nurse OC? Teehee. If any of you know who that's referring to, there's a guy in Furfinity called Renard V, also known as Jackal Queenston, I think. Not sure, but yeah, he does very excellent music with a shark nurse OC that's not silly-looking. It's a fucking shark and a nurse that does fucking badass music. That's cool. Eat shit. God, I hope that, like, Renard V doesn't, like, hate me and, like, will now be embarrassed that I'm giving them a plug. Oh, well. Walter Socklewell asks, first question, what do you do for a living? I sit on my ass. I'm kind of lucky in that regard. It's, one of the perks of mental illness is that if you're crazy enough, the government will pay you to sit around drooling and masturbating. Second question, ranch or Cool Ranch? Fuck you. Third question, what is your take on feminism? Oh, this is going to take a while. Feminism is a failure. It's an ideology that it's broken from the beginning. I regard it in the same sense that I do any religion, in the sense that if you have something based on a lie, no matter the intentions, no matter how much you like the group of people that you surround yourself with based on that lie, if it's still a lie, it's not going to produce anything good. And feminism doesn't. Amazing Atheist, who I mentioned before, put it perfectly. Feminism is thinking that you can solve the problems of both genders by only paying attention to the issues of one of them. That's about how it is. You know, it's like you don't balance the scale by only putting shit on one side of it, and that's what feminism does. I'm gonna do some quick research here. You don't have to take my word on it. Prone to Violence. That is the name of a book. I should probably have specified book. Erin Pizzi is a woman who started the first battered women's shelter in England. And what she found out was that the women coming in, they're as violent or more than their husbands. And all of them claiming victimhood. And what she noticed back then, first battered women's shelter in England. What's been noticed now is that of the studies that are coming in that finally has decent data, because the studies themselves aren't done by feminists, is that domestic violence, for the most part, most cases, is reciprocal. Man beats the shit out of a woman, woman beats the shit out of the man. Think of Eminem and Kim. Perfect example. Two people that beat the fucking shit out of each other because they do. And it's reciprocal. It's not, you know, one person completely dominating another. It's an entrenched, prolonged struggle. I'm not saying it's good, but feminism really only works if they can continuously force this image of the man standing over the cowering woman with blood on his knuckles, and she's got the black eye, and she's all backed into a corner like, oh, I'm so sorry. Lies. Not to say that doesn't happen, but the statistics are coming out shows that really doesn't happen anywhere near as much as you want to believe, or they want you to believe. And one thing they really don't want you to believe, and this is true, women are less often the victims of violence than men in every measurable category of violence. I kind of hated feminism before I learned that. I just thought they were annoying in the same way that, you know, hippies are, Scientologists. When I heard that, it like went to just flat out rage and me just wanting to destroy them like the hate group that they are. Basically what it boils down to is that bad shit happens to everybody in the world. And it happens to men just as much as women, maybe even more so, because men, yes, are more aggressive. That's, you know, biological fact. But when violence happens to women, women see that as the very existence of it proves that there's systemic gendered violence against women, and something must be done. We need laws. We need laws to protect women more than men. And yet these are the same ones who will rebel against the idea that women are helpless. Yet they're the ones, you know, legislating that stereotype into perpetuity. Like I said, Erin Pizzi, she wrote a book called Prone to Violence that lays out her findings. I suggest going to look it up. You don't necessarily have to read it, but look her up on Wikipedia. Also, there is a YouTuber called Girl Writes What, just one word. I watched through all of her videos, ended up subscribing to her. She's astonishing. She will teach you everything that you could have ever imagined knowing about feminism, outline every reason why it is bullshit. Yeah, could do a better job than I can. And unfortunately, because she's a woman, you're more likely to listen to her. Because what could a man ever possibly say about this? Getting back, fourth question. How's the weather out where you live? It was swelteringly hot when I first got that. It's cooled off now, but it's still kind of sticky. And fifth, if a 12-year-old propositioned you for consensual sex and you knew beforehand there would be no legal ramifications, would you? Knew this would happen because Lulz.net, they never passed up a chance to either say that I'm a misogynist or that I want to fuck kids because they're horribly unoriginal. In fact, the next poster says about the question, like you'd ever get a straight answer out of Ray Tard. Oh, how droll. He'll just write a TLDR just to say, maybe I would if the 5-0 never found out. All right. Short answer, would, if a 12-year-old propositioned you for consensual sex and you knew before I knew there'd be no ramifications, would you? No. Long answer, because I like to think about complex questions, is no for a variety of reasons. See, I'm kind of a weird fucker, because I can think that adult child sex is a bad idea without thinking that it's immoral. That's what the church does. The church that thinks that homosexuality is evil and that women should be property and all sorts of stuff. You know, the church, the ones who everything they've ever said about sex has been a lie, and that's where we get this idea that sex in children is the worst thing ever. Those people, they're the ones that came up with that idea. So, no. Immoral? No. that implies a moral code based on the presumption that sex is filthy instead of sex is a perfectly natural bodily function that we wouldn't be here without, and we owe our lives to it, literally. But it's still a bad idea, adult and child sex, in the same way that I think a boss sleeping with their employee is a bad idea, in the same way that I think polygamy is a bad idea. I don't believe it should be illegal, but I do think it's a bad idea. In all three situations, what do we have? We have a power imbalance. One person has power clearly over another. In the case of polygamy, I think the power balance is that, you know, the jealousy is going to happen in that area. Obviously, you know, one will end up the favorite of one of the others. In all three of these situations, again, I think it's a bad idea, but that doesn't mean that I think it should be criminalized if two people can beat the odds and manage to make it work. It means that I don't think that the police should be involved. The police don't bust up, you know, boss/secretary relationships. If it fails, it's because it's a dumb idea. And the people walk away, and maybe they have their hearts broken, but they learn from it and they don't do it again. Kind of a radical idea, but could we maybe try that with polygamy and pedophilia? Polygamy first. Let's test that out. Let's see if that works. Pedophilia, that's the other reason I wouldn't have sex with a 12-year-old, because there is a huge cultural bias against it right now. Right now, even if it were legal, it's not safe or ethical to do it because of the culture. I've made this example before and I really like it. If a Jew or a Muslim were to eat pork, it would not physically harm them. The harm is only in their belief that it'll destroy their soul. So if you held a Muslim or a Jew down and force-fed them pork, that could be an extremely traumatic experience to them, despite the fact that you are not causing them any physical harm. But the mental trauma is real. In the case of child-adult sex, even if it was completely consensual, there is still the trauma of this relationship has to be kept secret, or the person that I love will go to jail forever. You know, that's what the child's thinking. You know, the adult is thinking, this has to be kept secret or I'll go to jail forever. So, yeah, I can't in good conscience, you know, put anybody through that. And there's another bigger reason, is that the idea of, you know, a naked, cute 12-year-old in a room with naked, fat, sweaty, hairy, lumpy me is repellent. Me in the equation takes all the sexiness out of that. So yeah, I wouldn't have sex with a kid for their sake, and also for mine, because I would be embarrassed the entire fucking time. You know? my dick is, you know, it's like touching a warm piece of Camembert cheese right now. Not stiff. And the best part is that I know that on Lulz, they will hear that if they listen to this at all. And say, oh, he's just putting up a smokescreen, he would totally do it. And you go ahead and believe that, you motherfuckers. Just like I know that, you know, all of you, fuck your grandparents. And I know that. And nothing you say could ever change my opinion, because you do, obviously. You're all a bunch of grandparent fuckers. See how I can do that too? Moving on! Here's a person peeing. Few questions on here. Oh, some guy called That Fabulous Bastard says, truthfully, he does have really great hair. You're a good guy. Somebody called me a pedophile apologist and is basically into every fetish known to man, including some heavy scat and diaper stuff. Pretty accurate. And then at that point, the thread got hijacked by somebody posting pictures of, and this is just the, I laugh so hard at this. They started posting pictures of a guy. He's got a tray full of these strange items that almost look like sea anemones. And I look a little closer and I realize, nope, it's condoms filled with shit. This is his fetish. collecting his shit in condoms and then tying the ends up so he has what looks like big brown cucumbers. And the next picture shows him playing with them and just the oddest look in his eyes. Almost boredom. Boredom with an odd little bit of pride. You know, just enough to take the photo, just to be like, yes, this is what I'm doing. I am doing this because I must. I am playing with condoms filled with shit. Anyway, did they actually ask anything else, after that? Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's, like, the extent of the questions they actually asked. Yeah, asking questions on LOLs is kind of like trying to herd cats. I tried to restart it. I posted, this thread isn't getting enough of fucking attention. Rape is awesome. Obama is Hitler. 9gag is better than 4chan. Ron Paul, Pluto is a planet. they didn't take the bait, though. They just went back to talking about condoms filled with shit. And who can blame them? So, let's get back to the journal on Ink Bunny and see who asked me shit there. The first person who asked me a question is Bump-a-da-da, Lupine Assassin, and he asks, do you go to FurCons, and will you be attending AnthroCon next month? I so wish I could have been able to answer yes to this. I really wanted to go to AnthroCon this year. Really, 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 really wanted to, but two of the people that I was going there to meet won't be going, and it's kind of not worth going to a con if you ain't going with friends. On the other hand, I am going to, I think it's called Conference. It's a smaller con in, I think it's in Toronto. That'll be happening in July, and I'll be meeting two other of my friends there. So, not AnthroCon, unfortunately, not the big giant Mall of America furry con, but a little one, and hopefully it'll be fun. I went to Rainforest 1 year, that was a lot of fun too. Small ones, big ones, you know, furry cons are so fucking great. It's nice to be in a huge crowd of people and just feel like you can be yourself, because everyone else is too, and there's just like, you're here, you're among friends. It's really nice. Moving on, Shuyo asks, ever read the SCP files? I've looked at some of them, but Creepypasta doesn't tend to get to me. I'll read it, it's interesting ideas, but it doesn't really do too much for me other than, you know, kind of appreciating the idea. Really, the only thing I've ever read that has ever scared me was Stephen King's short story 1408. Not the movie, the story. If so, what is your general reaction? What did you like the most? I already answered it. Exactly, what did you think of the Avengers? Yay. Oh, the Avengers. For starters, the writer in me was fucking impressed to the rafters and back at how well Joss Whedon managed to give time and development to every character in that. It's fucking amazing. And make it feel natural, too. That's damn. It is gorgeous. The bit at the end when the big old giant scorpionish arthropod ship thing was flying through the sky and destroying everything, I thought to myself, this is exactly like Dark of the Moon. This looks exactly like a frame of Dark of the Moon, but everything substantive is completely different. Michael Bay should be strapped to a chair, forced to watch the Avengers, and be like, see this? This is what you want, but can never have, because you're talentless. Yeah, just, it's acted perfectly. I mean, every character in there, you know, does a good job of being a character. They have depth. Thor could have probably had a little bit more of a part, but I can kind of understand why he didn't. Just the fights are great. Everything in it is done well. There's nothing in it I can think of that, you know, watching the movie, I thought, you know, well, that needs to change, you know, or, oh, okay, well, there's the one little flaw in it. I was enthralled from beginning to end. The pacing was fantastic. I love the fact that I'm just watching this at one point, you know, where the fucking aircraft carrier does that thing that it does, just in case you haven't seen the movie and don't know what it does. And I thought, God, it's kind of cool that special effects have gotten to the point where they're perfect, you know, indistinguishable from reality, so we can kind of stop focusing on them. Sometimes I like a movie where the effects are the star, but if they're not supposed to be, then they detract badly. Watching a movie like The Fifth Element, that's an eyeball movie. That one, I'm just like sitting there, I was like, oh, everything is so pretty. And I'm like totally forgiving the fact that the plot is just going everywhere. You know, in Avengers, it's nice that effects are great, they're perfect. So you can just sit them and marvel at them, not think, oh, that's a nice effect. You can just think, this is happening. So the story and the characters can be focused on. As a writer who focuses on character first, plot second, and then porn third, if I happen to include it, I definitely love a writer like Joss Whedon who has that same priorities, character first, story. And that bit with the Hulk and Loki. Need I say more? Next question. Have you ever had a conversation with a total stranger from inside a bathroom stall? No, I haven't. Wouldn't mind, though. Roomba asks, where can I get that video? I tried to download it, but I said I needed your social security number for a password. Tee-hee. White Hair asks, banana stuffing is fun. How many can you take? Ever tried marshmallows? I've put a great many things up my ass in my time. I've never put a banana up there. Or if I have, I don't remember it. Put hot dogs up there. I found a plunger. It was a small, like, so a kitchen sink plunger at a hardware store once that had a plastic handle about a foot long with four spherical knobs at the end. I think you know where this is going. Into my ass! I put six Hot Wheels cars up my ass once, and then watched Jackass the movie and laughed my ass off. It's like, you can only take one? I haven't tried marshmallows. I found that a firm object goes in the ass far easier than a soft one. I'm sure this is no surprise to anybody who's done any serious butt-fucking. Shokuji asks, do you worry that sometimes no matter how much objective sense you're making, people aren't listening? I want to find you and hug you. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I think for the most part people do. On Ink Bunny especially, I have been happily surprised over and over and over again by the quality of conversation that I've had. The fact that I haven't had to block anybody yet warms my heart. But, yeah, like I was just saying about lulls, you know, this idea that, oh, I just hate women. No, I hate feminists. The other idea is, oh, you want to fuck kids. No, I want to fuck furry kids. And it's just, people keep saying that forever. Because they don't give a shit about the truth. You know, I'm a caricature to them. And it does suck that I can't change that no matter what I do, but you learn to not give a shit after a while, and you learn to just giggle at it. Next question, also from Shokuji. Have you ever felt like you don't really belong in this society as if you have a completely different viewpoint than most people? Yes. Yes, I have. I think everybody's felt like that. We've all had the Truman Show syndrome at least once. I used to feel it, I think, rather a lot in high school. Big surprise there. For a brief period of time, my internet handle was anti-human and proud. I think that kind of says it all. I still do feel like kind of an outsider, but the more I've learned about sociology, the more I've interacted with people, the more I've learned about just how people think and act, it's like there's a lot of universal stuff. There's a lot more than we'd ever suspect. The idea that any of us are alone is kind of ridiculous. The idea that any of us have ever gone through something that no one else can understand, no. Not only has somebody else been there, but most people have been there. We've all been through shit. We've all been through highs. We've all been through lows. I think there is a way to find empathy among everyone. So I still do feel like I'm different from most people, but it's not like a part anymore. It's like the bell curve, you know? You know, in the middle, there is a bunch of average, and then there's two extremes at either end. I do feel like I'm at one of the ends, but that doesn't mean I'm not part of the graph. Moving on, Cloud006 asks, what is your fave thing to do in your free time? Sleep. I do like to sleep. It's so fun. I get a bed full of plushies. I curl up and that my troubles melt away. I just relax so much. And it's like, I love waking up when I don't have to so I can fall back asleep again. Feels so nice. I also like it because, goddamn, do I ever come up with the best ideas when I'm half asleep. You know, when my brain is just starting to tap a toe into dreamland. Like, most of my stories come from there. What type of art do you like most? Are we speaking of art in the classical sense, or art as in any media, you know, movies and video games and books and stuff included? If you mean art in the general sense, God, hard to say. I like surrealist stuff and abstract stuff, vibrant stuff. Who's that Dada guy? The one who made the toilet. He comes to mind: Salvador Dali, Jean Moreau, Magritte, Paul Klee. Anything that looks like I'm staring into a different dimension is kind of nifty. I love your rants, but I can't think of a good thing to ask, so you can rant about it. What do I like to rant about right now? Let me just think for a second. Dr. Pepper? I'd read these questions before when I got them. I'm trying to think if there's anything more about feminism or pedophilia that I wanted to mention. Ah, that was it. I've gotten a lot of shit from a group I call the Rape Opinion Police, which basically means that you are only entitled to one opinion about the topic of rape, and that is theirs. I can see how it's a sensitive subject. I don't like the idea of triggers, you know. If you're the victim of a sex crime, you know, within the past year or so, I can see, yes, you know, it's still being traumatic enough. But if it's, you know, it's like, you know, oh, I was raped 16 years ago and I still get triggers, maybe you need to work past that, and it's not my fault for mentioning it. Just a thought there, and, you know, this is from somebody who's had their head fucked with so bad, you know, I've ended up on disability. And the reason I ended up on disability, I merely described my symptoms to them. And they come back and say, here, we'll pay you to stay the fuck out of society forever. Fine by me. Getting back to rape, though, I wrote a journal once that pissed a lot of people off because they didn't, you know, they heard about it from somebody else and didn't read what it was actually about. I was writing it to this one person who had stalked me for over a year, and I wrote to them basically calling them every horrible thing I could think of and ending with a little vignette where I discussed them being raped by a hobo and saying, I sure do hope this happens to you. And I don't apologize for that or retract it. You know why? Because the person who I wrote it to, it rolled right off of them. They laughed it off. And so that means that I don't really give a shit about anybody else's opinion. I had people tell me on that I was no better than a rapist because I wished it on somebody else. I wished it on someone else. Do we not know here in the 21st century that wishes don't do anything? I can get the idea of it's bad to want something bad to happen to somebody else, but the idea that a wish can be as bad as performing the action itself kind of pisses me off a little bit. And kind of tying in with the feminists, there is this idea that rape is the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to a person, and no one could ever understand the mentality of a rape victim, and, you know, we should just bend over fucking backwards, lie down in the street, and let them walk on us if a rape victim walks by. And I don't think that's fucking healthy. I don't think that you should hold on to victimhood. I don't think that somebody should make it easy for you to be a victim forever. And there's plenty of people who would hear that and think, oh, well, you hate victims. No, I hate the culture that keeps them there, that infantilizes them, that keeps them powerless, that keeps them welded to their abuse and constantly dwelling on and blaming everything in it. In their life for it, instead of breaking past it and saying, I'm not ever going to let that motherfucker take a single fucking instant of my happiness away from me forever. So that's my actual opinion on rape victims, but there is this still idea of, does anybody deserve to be raped? I find that a fascinating question, and I find it fascinating more still that some people would get offended merely by asking it. And I've countered, would you feel the same if I said that somebody deserved to be killed? And a lot of them will say, oh, well, yes, I do. It's like, you don't. Shut up. I've never heard you say that before. So who do I think deserves to get raped? Here's a fun one. That person I wrote the journal to. People who are in favor of laws that would criminalize abortion. Again, this is saying deserve to, not I want to do this to them, or I think it literally should happen to them, or I will organize groups of people to do this to them. I'm just saying deserve, as in their karma. If you're a man or a woman, most likely a fucking man, who wants to legislate that women can't get abortions, then somebody should either rape you or rape your wife so that you have to suddenly deal with a pregnancy. And I imagine a shitload of these people will all of a sudden run to their doctor, get themselves an abortion, and prove they're a hypocrite, or else they'll spend the rest of their life caring for a baby they don't love and making society worse and everyone miserable. Third group of people I think deserve to be raped. how shall I word this? People who say that I'm no better than a rapist for suggesting that they deserve to get raped. Inception. Okay, so that's my rant. Thank you, Cloud06, for letting me go off on it. So, dogs or cats? I'm more of a cat person. Never had a dog. Certainly wouldn't mind trying that out. And last question from Cloud06. Ponies, yay or nay? I am fond of ponies. I don't know if I'd call myself a brony in the same way that I've seen most episodes of Star Trek, but wouldn't call myself a Trekkie. Like the show, but I don't know if I want to define myself by that label. I do really like the show. It's fun. It's hard to pin down exactly why I like it. I do just know that whenever I watch an episode, I want to watch another one. Could be, like I said, it does have strong characterization, although one does begin to notice that as strong as the characters are, they don't tend to carry their lessons over from episode to episode. You'll notice sometimes that, you know, somebody will learn that episode and grow within the course of an episode, and the next one they're back to normal, and that is pissing me off, but I suppose you can't have everything in a kid's show that is kind of married to that fucking format. Otherwise, though, it's just fucking nice to see a kid's TV show that is actively working against some of the worst tropes and tired cliches, is actively trying to be awesome. The second half of the second season finale, A Canterlot Wedding. A Canterlot Wedding! The second half of that has a scene that is inspired by the Burly Brawl from The Matrix Revolutions, and is one of the most badass things I've ever seen in animation. That's all I need to say about ponies! The fact that that can fucking happen in that show, there's something impressive there. Next up is Pro Jazz D, who asks, hooray! Now that Duke Nukem Forever exists, what are your thoughts? I'll probably get around to playing it eventually. I'm not too much of a video game person, but yeah, fuck. I love me some Duke, so I'll play it eventually. I did see part of the demo, and it starts with Duke taking a piss. Brilliant. Sir Luda previously asked you your top five underappreciated creatures. You interpreted that as characters. What about species? Okay. Definitely love me some bats. I think there's a lot of potential there that doesn't get tapped. I mean, the giant tongues, the huggy wings, hanging upside down with them. I do kind of dislike sometimes seeing, like, a character that's, like, basically, like, dog or a cat, and they've just, like, put some wings on it, and they call it a bat, and some other species that I think deserve more love. Giraffes, pangolins, hyenas. Go look up some pictures of baby hyenas. They're so cute! What's an underrepresented species? I mean, fuck. Dragons, wolves, and foxes, and mouses are all over the damn place. And bunnies. Lots of bunnies. Loads of bunnies. Oh, God, I've got to come up with another species. Echidnas! They're roly-poly, and they have spines and cute little beaks. So, yes, draw more echidna porns. Not, you know... Knuckles isn't quite an echidna. He's just sort of hedgehog shape with dreadlocks. You know, go find what a real echidna looks like. Alright. I read a clarification of what people mean by supernatural that runs thus. A natural occurrence can be broken down into purely physical components, but a supernatural one has a mental component that has no physical decomposition. Do you think this definition works, and do you think that kind of supernatural exists? God. That's actually... I've said before that I don't believe in the supernatural in the sense that I think that everything in the universe is natural, so for something to be beyond that, it really does smack of, we don't know what this is, therefore we have a label for it, which seems silly to me. Yeah, I really don't think that there is anything supernatural, no matter how you define it. It's just something we don't understand yet. He also asks... Crap, I guess I'll ask this and maybe try to retract it later. No, I like this one. Is this question about a banana? I tried to think about that. But the answer that I would have to give would be a solid no. It is a question about questions. The proof of it is that you could swap out banana for any other noun. Is this question about a gerbil? Is this question about a ham sandwich? And the question would still retain its essential nature. There you go. I'm smart. Moving on, Kevin Snowpaw asks, in the event of total nuclear war and the impending nuclear winter, gee, that's cheerful, and subsequent radioactive zombies that arise from the ashes of that Holocaust, do you speculate in your wisdom that Muslim and Jewish zombies will still needlessly fight over the smoldering crater that was Israel, or will there finally be peace in the Middle East? Of course they'll still fight. Of course they will, because they want to. Because you get into a pattern of generation after generation holding on to hatred, and then you have a person that it's okay to hate. You have a whole group of people that it's okay to project your most awful human impulses onto, your impulses towards just violence and anger, and all of that is justified because that other person on the other side of the fence or whatever, they're not really a person. They're just an enemy. They're a boogeyman, and you can do anything you want to them and feel as justified as you want. You can feel as much righteous anger as you want, and it's all okay. It's a perfect justification for life, for everything shitty and horrible and barbaric that the humanity is capable of. And who wouldn't want that? Oh, right, somebody's sane. Oh, and hey, look, it's that reciprocal domestic violence again. Also, why the hell do we taste like pork? Most importantly, why do I know that? I don't know why you know that. I know that from the internet. I don't know it. I've only heard people say and joke that humans taste like pork. Although, fucking hell, if I could get away with it, sure, I'd test it out and find out. I mean, if it was, like, it would have to be consensual, though. You know, like an Armin Muse situation. Be at a furry con. You know, somebody who's, like, really, really into vore. And they're like, all right, guys, eat my leg. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll try some leg. Leg of man. Finally, if you were offered the chance to become a famous seasonal or holiday icon, would you do it? If so, which one and what changes would you potentially make to our beloved holiday season? This can be changes in process or to the season event itself. I've never thought about that. I'm going to think of Nightmare Before Christmas as a starting point. You know, the group of trees with all the holidays on it. What would I be? Oh, God, if I was Santa Claus, I could travel around all around the world giving all the kids books on critical thinking skills. I could be a Thanksgiving turkey and be eaten by millions. I could be the Easter Bunny and shit out eggs all day. I could be St. Patrick and snakes would leave whenever I went in the room. I don't have an answer for it. I don't know. Hashmaster7420 asks, do you like NASCAR, or racing in general? If so, who's your favorite driver? I don't know a damn thing about auto racing. Like a lot of sports, I've tried to watch it just kind of bores me. I just go, oh, they're going around in a circle. Oh, they're going around in a circle again. I can have a tiny bit of appreciation for horse racing, because they only go around in a circle once. So it's actually thrilling. It's like they only one chance to do this. My aunt and my grandpa sometimes watch like the Kentucky Derby, and I'll pop my head in the room and say, oh, which one's going to win? And it's never the one that I want to, so... Get all excited, and it's like, oh, it's, you know, Daddy's Little Mustache. Yay. You know, I was hoping for Bosco Hymns a Good Fish. But NASCAR, the only thing that I know at all about NASCAR is I know three drivers... Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Juan Pablo Montoya, and the only reason I know that is because their cars were in Transformers Dark of the Moon as Top Spin, Roadbuster, and Leadfoot. So that's the extent of my knowledge. What is the craziest thing you've done? I haven't had the most exciting life. I'm not a Hemingway. I tend to write about more interesting stuff than I've done. There is the time that I got fired from the grocery store, though. At the grocery store, we kept having managers that kept popping in and out. They just kept getting fired, and they seemed to know that when they went in. It's like, you only have a month. So they'd run in and like, oh, I must make all the changes that I can to leave my mark upon this place before I die. So we got this one in. Is it this tiny, squeaky, officious little prick who he spent $2,000 apiece on these weird trapezoidal-shaped shopping carts that were open in the front, like bookshelves. And us, the baggers, this happened when I was high school-ish. Us, the baggers, were supposed to, for every customer, put their groceries into one of these two stupid rhombus-shaped carts, wheel their groceries out to their car, put them in their car, and then not receive tips. Nobody liked this idea. Nobody. Except him, the boss. And I started basically asking customers, do you want me to put your groceries in this stupid trapezoid-shaped you know, fuck them, things are going to fall out the front, and take it out to your car for you. And most of them said, no, I just want to take my groceries and fucking leave. And I said, congratulations, you have sense. I didn't begrudge them if they wanted me to. I mean, yeah, there's a couple old ladies that were like, oh, you're taking my groceries out to my car for me, thank you so much. And then I would kneel and they would kiss me gently on the forehead. That never happened. So anyway, virtually nobody, 95% of the customers hated this policy, and I told him that, and I told my boss, it was just like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore, and the reason why is that you're my boss, but the customer is my boss above you. And I wasn't just saying this to be a dick, I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe the customer tells me to do something, doesn't matter if you've said it, I'm going to fucking follow the customer. Because, you know, if I piss them off, then they don't come back, and we get less money. Economics. He got pissed off at me, and I had heard that he was planning to fire me, so I was like, all right, fine, I'm just going to come in tomorrow and quit, and I was going to be really dramatic about it. I told a coworker I was going to come and be all Shakespearean and fall on the floor crying and kind of clawing. He's like, oh, you ruined my life! he found out about this and fired me preemptively, which was like, oh, you sour old poop. So I got my last check. I went and I got a 2-liter of Faygo grape soda. Went to the cashier, cashed the check out, bought the grape soda, was just about to leave, and then I picked up the speaker for the PA system, and I said, attention, Oak Ridge customers, we are proud to announce we are no longer serving E. coli contaminated meat on most weekdays. And then I left. As I was trying to bike away, he came out, and he was one of these guys that he can't actually scream. He's like speaking in a normal voice, but, you know, speaking as, like, I need you to get out of here right now! You know, and actually saying it like that, I'm not, like, decreasing my volume. It was that loud. And I'm just like, it's like, I'm trying to leave right now. It's like, you're never allowed back here again! And I'm like, I don't plan to come back. God, then go! Like, okay, bye! And I left forever. And then 3 years later, that grocery store was bulldozed to the ground. So I left my curse on the place. That's not too crazy, but off the top of my head, that's the craziest thing I've ever done. Aside from the aforementioned putting things in my butt. If you had a time machine and could go back to fix / change one thing and one thing only in your past, what would it be? Dicks. I think people have asked this before, and I've said that nothing comes to mind, and I don't know if I would change anything. There might be a case of, like, me going back in time and retrieving something that I lost, something that got thrown away that I still miss, but only if I could, like, you know, sneak into the timeline, get it just before it, you know, falls in the trash and leave and not affect the actual timeline. I liked Men in Black 3 recently because I liked the character of Griffin, who could see into five dimensions and see all the potential futures and whatnot. It was an interesting idea. And I also liked the movie The Butterfly Effect, which a lot of people hated, because I thought it explored the concept really well of going back and changing things and then realizing how much of an effect that has in the future. This all kind of comes home for me really, really hard, because there was a point in my life, I was thinking about where I am now in my life and tracing things back to what caused that, and I realized that there was a point in my life several years ago where my decision to reply to one email changed virtually everything about my life. Almost everything that I have now is due to my decision to reply to that email. There are friends that I have I probably never would have met otherwise. There are things I own I never would have had otherwise. This may or may not be true, but one of my friends might not be alive if I hadn't answered that email years before, because of the chain of events that led to me being in a place to be with him when he was at an extremely low point in his life. That kind of shit scares me. It makes me wonder, you know, what things didn't happen because of choices that I made in the past. You know, what if I chose differently? What friends would I know better now that I don't because of changes I made back then? How different would my life be? So, yeah, any question about time travel, I would not go back and change anything. Because if I hadn't replied to that email, fucking hell. So who knows what, you know, even going back to the past and, like, fucking turning on a light switch at the wrong time would have done. And lastly, if you could have a mutant superpower, what would it be? You specified mutant superpower, so usually X-Men get all the weird ones, so it wouldn't be like, you know, Superman-y type shit. They usually get like one power, and it's a spectacularly odd one. What I want? The ability to jizz any substance I could think of. That'd be kind of fun. I'm sure I could think of something that's kind of limited, and it's oddly specific. Probably wouldn't make it into an X-Men comic, but it's that kind of just weird, off-the-wall fucking power. So yeah, let's try that and see if I can, you know. I'm hungry. It's like, fap, 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 fap. Cheeseburger. Low Zed asks, one, what's one fetish you utterly despise? I don't think I actually dislike any of them. At least despise. There's some I might not like, some I might not fap to, but as I was saying earlier about empathy, almost all fetishes can be broken down into ideas and things that they represent. So almost any fetish, you know, when I look at it, I don't just see you. I see, oh, okay, that's a certain type of this, and that means that this person is, you know, wanting to feel this emotion. So yeah, there's nothing I can think of offhand. I mean, I suppose any fetish where you're doing something cruel to somebody else against their will. There we go. But even then, I can fap to that if it's in fiction, because it's in fiction. In your opinion, which movie had the stupidest plot? I remember seeing that when he first posted that, and thinking, it's like, oh god, I'm going to have to think forever, because they're so stupid. I eventually said, I don't know if this is the stupidest, but this is the best one I could think of. Jack Frost, starring Michael Keaton. Dad dies, comes back to life as a snowman. I'm sorry, that was me fighting mental retardation from just saying that shit. Three, what got you into furry anyways? I think in the same way that I don't think media or cartoons or whatever causes fetishes, they just kind of awake, you know, feelings within you, and then you kind of realize it's like, hey, this fetish is an outlet for that. I probably was born with a leaning towards furries. So, yeah, even if furry never existed, I'd probably just be that guy who likes animals a lot for some reason. I'm trying to think. Pretty cartoons is probably the best answer. When I was a kid, I would watch anything animated. And anything animated often tends to run to anthropomorphic animals. So, yeah, Tiny Toons and Rescue Rangers, I've said it before. I don't know if that made me furry, but it's certainly cemented me furry. Moving on, Humbug asks, no, it's funny, I actually thought for a little while that you might be the amazing atheist. Your description of your RL self kind of fit, and you share so many views with him. yeah, if you've ever seen a picture of the amazing atheist, that is kind of like what I look like, you know, bearded, blonde, and blubbery. And we do share a shitload of ideas, although one of the things I like most about him is that whenever I disagree with him, it's never easy. He always puts up a very solid argument, and so I have to work hard to really think through, okay, you know, I disagree with that on an emotional level, let's find out why. Let's kind of dig deep in me and find out what is it I'm objecting to, and that can lead to some interesting revelations within myself. For a while there, he was rather nihilistic, you know, just fucking no hope for humanity, but I've noticed in some of his recent videos he seems to be coming out of it a little bit, and I'm like, yay! Anyway, do you have a job? If so, what do you do? I sit around taking money from the government as a bribe to keep from interacting with people. And lest you think that I'm just, you know, like a Social Security cheat, yeah, you don't know what the fuck goes on with me. You're hearing me lucid right now. Reiterate. I'd heard, don't bother applying for Social Security disability. You're not going to fucking get it. There's commercials on TV for lawyers, like, denied your Social Security. I figured, what the hell, I'll try. I wrote to them. I described my symptoms. They gave me money. So, that should tell you everything you need to know. My life is not all rainbows and sunshine. And sometimes it's a whirling hellhole of pain. and I don't know if I'm necessarily a danger to society, but a monumental irritant? actually, shit, let's segue into that a little bit. For the longest time, I'd struggled with mental illness and what my diagnosis was. I'd never had a good diagnosis. My mom shopped me around from doctor to doctor, finding any way she could to blame all of her mental problems on me. And they never found a good diagnosis for me, despite the fact that, you know, she ain't wrong and that I am fucking crazy. I eventually figured it out, though, and I had an almost, like, you know, weight lifted, coming out of the closet moment. I'm evil! And I don't say that lightly. What I mean by that is, I've said before, my mom is a sociopath. Oh, look, Alex Renard is talking about how much he hates his mom again. Blah-de-da-de-da, he does this every time. Yes, I do, shut up. She's, like, fucking textbook sociopath. Can't care about anybody else, can't accept blame, she lies, she manipulates, you know, she has the emotional maturity of a six-year-old, you know, she loves, making quote marks in the air with my fingers, loves people only to the extent that they can do things for her. And my father isn't much better. He's a brilliant guy, I get all my creativity from him, but he's also lethargic to a shameful degree, is extremely narcissistic, thinks the world revolves around him, an absolute bullshit artist. I met him in person one time, and I left it feeling, it's like, well, yeah, I wouldn't have really gained anything with him in my life if I'd grown up with him. So, that should tell you a lot. So, from those genes, the worst aspects of humanity, that's where I come from. And I realize that my mental illness is me trying to be decent despite my natural inclinations being towards being a selfish, heartless... Every bad thing that a person can be, that's the gene pool I rose out of. And everything good that I am... My empathy, my intelligence, my introspection is all stuff that I have specifically had to install in myself and work on and fake until it became second nature. I am a constructed personality. I'm an artificial being. And that's why, you know, I've got the mental illness. I'm the mental illness. I'm the invader. It's the constant struggle between my natural self trying to be its evil, petty, bitchy, selfish nature, and me saying, no, I like to have actual relationships with people, and you tend to destroy everything you come into contact with, so fuck you. So yeah, it's kind of like living all the time nailed to a rabid bobcat. Try doing that. Alright. Yeah, do you have a job? If so, what do you do? If not, where's your income come from? Like I said, Social Security, Obama or Lewis Black? I like both. I think Lewis Black is funnier, but Obama may disagree with him sometimes, but you gotta love a president that can dick around on the White House lawn with a lightsaber and a big-ass grin on his face. There's a picture of him standing with Uhura from Star Trek, and he is grinning so much. It's just like, aw, oh, it's adorable. He's a big nerd. Santorum or Hitler? Same person. Drakus Kier asks, number one, what are your favorite fanfics that others have made of your works? Oi! Okay, Drakus Kier himself did Interface, and that whole series was fucking amazing. Bloody hell, can't remember the title right now, but somebody else did a Dangerous Lunatic story about a raccoon girl that could hypnotize people with lust powers. There's been a ton of really good Bartleby ones. Bartleby Bloodlines by my friend Zeph and Saul is so good I made it canon. I don't know if I can say if I have a favorite, but... God damn, that one is so good, and it was exactly what I wanted, and it's like, I gave the idea to him, I have the idea, I can't write it, and he wrote it, and it was like, thank you, you've put in a missing piece. And he also wrote a really adorable one about his characters, Alan Pago, having fun with Crystal on 4th of July with lots of explosions. There's probably more I'm misremembering. I'm honored every time somebody does a fanfic or a fanpick of something of mine. It's amazing to me that... It's just humbling to me, the idea that I've made something that somebody else enjoys enough to want to be a part of. And the idea that there's so many Bartleby fics, that I've created a place, you know, in hell, that is someplace that other people want to be. And it reminded me of reading Harry Potter. And them going into Diagon Alley and thinking, it's like, yeah, I want to hang out in this world. And the idea that I've created a place like that, it just blows my mind. It's so nifty. Ah, question. If 1 plus 1 equals 10, and 10 plus 10 equals 100, Then what does 11 plus 11 equal? 22. Oh god, I'm not a good math person. I hope I got that right. Number three, what is your favorite home-cooked food, not to take out or order in? Well, that's kind of in the definition. I don't know favorite, but I make Hamburger Helper a lot, and I love doing stuff to it. But today was relatively normal. I had Salisbury steak and just put a lot of mushrooms in there, but I've been known to get creative and interesting with that. Same with ramen. I will put all sorts of things in ramen. I like food I can customize. Number four, why do nice guys always finish last? There's the flippant answer, because they're not strong enough to take the lead. And then there's the feminist-hating answer, which says that we evolved in such a way that a woman will look for, unconsciously look for a protector first. And that is, you know, the kind of big, brutish, tough bastard. And that's not her fault. It's fucking genes. In the same way that there's all sorts of stuff that men look for. Arousal is not a thought process. It is the genes saying, I want a couple with that, and you're coming along with the ride. So, yeah, it's sad. Some of the stuff I learned about genetics has made me kind of wary of love. I'd rather have friendships than have my hormones explode at something that's going to break my heart later. That's one of the reasons I like the internet. You get to fall in love with somebody's mind first before you meet them. I'd much rather meet somebody online, fall in love with who they are, and then meet them in real life and find out that they look kind of weird, then see somebody incredibly attractive, start hanging out with them, and then realizing that their personality is like having nails driven into my penis. Number five, why can I not find anyone to help me build powered combat armor? I have the designs in my head, but no tools. I don't know. It's the internet, man. You ain't got no excuse for that. There's LARPers. Shit, you got plans for powered combat armor. There should be people all over that. Number six, can I ask a sixth question? No. Continuing, Decap Duck asks, I suppose I'd be stirring shit up when I admit I am a straight Christian Republican, despite my constant headless furry porn shtick. And to be honest, most of the things you say don't offend me because they are not targeting me directly. Very mature. That, and I do kind of like stirring shit up. One question I will ask, has there ever been a subject you would never touch? No. I believe very firmly that we have to talk about everything. Everything. When you make a topic taboo, that means that you've basically condemned it to remain unsolved. The idea that, you know, oh, we just won't talk about that and it'll get better, that doesn't fucking work. Quite a few years ago, the NAACP held a funeral, a mock public funeral for the word nigger. And you might have noticed that people are still saying it. Shit like that only makes people feel like they're doing something. It doesn't accomplish shit. If you don't address a problem, if you try to say, you know, oh, well, we must be polite and not discuss that, it festers. It festers in the background and it gets worse. It's why racism is still a problem, is because we fucking will not be honest with it. And it's a really good thing that racism has gotten to the point where it's almost universally regarded as a bad thing, and that's probably as much of a victory as we can ever hope to have over it, and we should be happy with that. Bloody hell, that's my train of thought there. Dr. Pepper, help me. But we have a problem when we treat somebody saying something in innocent ignorance as the same as actual racism. If both of them get punished harshly, there's no reason to be curious, to ask questions. If we don't forgive somebody for saying something ignorant and correct them instead of saying, you're a racist, fuck you, then that will lead to resentment, and maybe that innocent ignorance will turn to racism in time. Just a thought. So yeah, on any subject. I was just talking about hating feminism. I was just talking about pedophilia. I was just talking about rape, for crying out loud. There's nothing that I won't talk about, and everything should be talked about. Except for what Rush Limbaugh's asshole looks like, because that's kind of like a Cthulhu thing where if you even hear a description of it, you'll go mad and jump off a cliff and die. What the fuck is wrong with me? Zeph and Saul asks, What is a million times a million? No, seriously, no one ever seems to get this right. And I'm not going to get it right either because I don't know shit about math. And I can't even do simple addition in my head without feeling like, oh God, did I get that wrong? Seriously, do you think that gay pride parades are helpful or not to moving America into acceptance? It's a hard question because I think that they were useful. In the same way that feminism may have once been useful. As I mentioned about Aaron Pizzi, you'll find out that at the beginnings of feminism, it was actually quite a bit about upper-income ladies wanting stuff for themselves and fuck everyone else. But feminism did, in its beginnings, correct a lot of shitty misogyny that it should have corrected and which did need to go away. But then, once most of its major goals were won, it was like, it got on the throne and didn't want to fucking come down, so it's like, let's see what other laws we can change in our favor and fuck everyone else. So, yeah, gay pride parades were good at a time. They were good at a time when no one was talking about the gays, and the gays, they were, you know, closeted as a whole, and it was fucking, you know, marching down Main Street, that was a radical thing. It was a dangerous thing. And it was a necessary thing to get people to acknowledge, hey, we exist, and we're not going to fucking be ignored anymore, you sons of bitches. And that's cool. And now it's kind of just like a festival thing. I've likened it before to furry festivals or Star Trek things or, you know, sports fan gatherings. At this point, I think they're doing parades just out of tradition. Why not just have a gay convention? Because at this point, everyone is aware of gay. You know, there's nobody out there who doesn't know that gays exist. It's kind of like those infernal breast cancer awareness things. For Christ's sakes, raise the money if you want to, but everyone knows breast cancer exists by now. I watch the news too much. But yeah, have a gay convention. The parades probably are a bit just silly by now. I don't think that they're harmful in any way. And something else that occurred to me a while ago was that when 90% of all, fucking 99% of all romantic comedies are aggressively straight, when fucking 95% of all movies are so aggressively straight, to deny the gays a pride parade is to be kind of a dick. It's like, let them have one fucking thing. Let them have one thing where they shove their sexuality down our throats for a change. It's kind of weird how I don't group myself in there. It's weird because I am more gay than straight. I guess, yeah, I don't consider myself either. I'm just sort of an it. Also, would Mitt Romney as president be bad? If it would, how? I'm curious. It would be bad because he's the sort of person who will say anything to get elected, and that means that he is not loyal to us. He is loyal to someone else. And given his background in business, it's not too difficult to guess who. Maybe not specifically, but you know that he's in somebody's pocket, and that if he gets in, laws will change that will magically benefit people who already have all the benefits. And it would be a bad thing for our society to go back to the economic situation before the Great Depression, where there was robber barons and people starving on the streets, and that's about it, you know. When you give all the money to the rich, they keep it. This is bad. Economy stagnates. Bad. Moving on, Sen Grisane asks, do you think that the phenomenon of airborne pigs is related to the drop to temperature below 0 Celsius in hell? Yes. If I forward my number to a friend's phone, and he forwards his number to my phone, and someone would call one of us, what would happen? I have several theories on the matter. I'm not sure. It actually kind of reminds me of a question I used to like to ask people a lot. If you're in a vehicle traveling at the speed of light, and you turn on your headlights, do they do anything? I think I stole that from Stephen Wright. I don't even remember now. And did you get spanked as a kid? I got spanked a couple of times. I can remember one time being real little and my mom having me over her knee and her spanking the hell out of me and it hurting and me crying and stuff. Another thing about, though, I would have much rather have been spanked more often than some of the mind-screw fucking prison camp torture punishments she thought of. She'd attack my fucking head you know, when she punished me. I would have rather her spank my ass, because that pain goes away after a while. Not so much, you know, I had a bad day at work. I'm going to take away everything you love. See, I can laugh about my abuse and trauma. I don't dwell in it and like, oh, I'm a victim. Just a Critic asks, I was wondering if you would do this again. Well then, what opinion do you have, if any, on the marketization of higher education? I'm afraid I don't know anything about that. And I don't like answering questions I don't know anything on, because I don't like being wrong, and part of that is knowing when to say I don't know shit. 2, would you mind being a deity in that story series I've mentioned in progress? I have a vacancy in my celestial hierarchy. Unfortunately, so many people talk to me about stories and story ideas. I'm not sure which one you're specifically mentioning. But, sure, make me a deity. That'd be fun. I love having unlimited power. And I would do good while acting really evil. 3, would you tell, in your experience, what are the most cliché ideas to ever appear in a piece of written fiction? I'd like to have a little advance warning of anything that might elicit groans from an audience. Oh my god, there's so many. Oh god, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna be here for like fucking the next 5 hours thinking of every hateful cliché of science fiction. One of the biggest ones is, if a story doesn't need a love story, don't put one in. I get sick of that. How many fucking superhero movies have you seen, or action movies, where they have to cram a love interest in there and it adds goddamn nothing? Because they don't even fucking give the chick any character development. They're just there as a trophy. They're just something to get by the end of the film. And that's more insulting than not having her in there at all. Don't fucking do that. The cliche of technology being evil, the whole Frankenstein syndrome, I hate that one. The cliche of, you know, scientists and smart people being sinister, ick, hate that. I especially hate that in cartoons. There have been some episodes I've seen of SpongeBob where SpongeBob is the hero and Squidward is the villain, that just make my spine curl. It's like, oh, you should not be teaching kids, you know, that rationality makes you a dick, and you should be stupid so everyone will like you. Ah! Go to TV Tropes for a while. There's so much stuff in there that you'll go through. I'm trying to think, what do I tend to like to subvert in my own tropes? One big thing is you can, like, try to not think of characters as characters. One great bit of writing advice I got once was, every character thinks they're the main character, and you should write them that way. They should act as if they're the hero of their own story. And even if they have a peripheral role, you shouldn't write them as just, you know, one character trait. Try to, you know, make them as well-defined as you can. Anytime you find yourself doing anything automatically, just like, oh, well, this is the way it's always done, try to be cognizant of that and aware of it and just say, like, no, I don't have to do that. I don't have to make my female characters always this way. I don't have to make my male characters always this way. Give all of them depth and write them as a person that you would, if not necessarily want to know, at least find fascinating. No matter what you put them through, have them react the way, you know, that character would truly react. Never move the plot along by having a character act against their nature. One of the worst sins I think a writer can commit. So that's very broad, but I hope that gives you some ideas of things to avoid. 4, do you believe you'll outlast that ban by a certain purple dinosaur? If so, what's the first thing you're going to do if you ever get back? Referring to Dragonair and Fur Affinity. Well, the ban's for 10 years. I can wait that long and hold a grudge that long. What do I do when I get back? Browse porn. Post a journal saying, hi there, guys. Same shit I did when I was there the whole time. I'd probably, like, come back, maybe spend a month there, if it's the same wretched hive of scum and villainy as it always was, where I'm just, like, getting into fights every couple of seconds, and I'm just pissed off all the time being there, leave again. 5, what do you like to see in a piece of written fiction, whether fan or original? I often feel dissatisfied with my own attempts, and because I think so highly of you, I'd like to see what you'd like to see in a story. Thank you! As I mentioned before, characterization. I've said before, I would rather drive to a fucking meat rendering plant with 4 people that I really love than drive to Disneyland with a bunch of pricks. You know, the journey, the destination, isn't as important as your traveling companions. Develop your ideas. there's been a lot of sci-fi movies I've seen where they'll have an idea for some technology and they won't think of the full implications of that, and that kind of drives me nuts. Take your ideas and really think about how would this be used in the real world? How would people figure out ways to screw people over with this? How would they figure out ways to hack this? Kind of be a beta tester in your mind. Take your ideas and play with them. Well, I like to see enthusiasm. I like to see people writing about, you know, something that they obviously give a shit about and putting their all into the book. A lot of stuff doesn't matter to me. I can read stuff from just about any genre, and I try to. A story told with enthusiasm and effort. Anybody can write, I've seen this 1,000 times online, you know, a story that gives them a boner and makes them come. And it usually ends immediately after the sexy part, so that's one way to tell them. I mean, that may have lots of enthusiasm, but no effort. There's no, other people will be reading this, so maybe I should clean it up a little bit. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if guests are coming over, you clean up the fucking cups and pizza boxes from your floor. Similarly in fiction, clean up your fucking typos, arrange the story so that it flows well. Reading a good book should be like watching a movie. You should be unaware of the words on the page. The story should just, you know, come right off the page to you with no bumps in the way. If there's bumps, the author hasn't done his job. Thank you for your time, as always. Thank you, Just a Critic. Next up, Wandering Smoke asks, how many plants are around your place? What kind are they? Have you pissed on them? Does marking your territory actually keep other animals away? Sorry, I couldn't think of anything good to ask. Lol. I live in kind of a medium-sized city, so there's not too much plants around. There's grass and trees. There's a lilac bush nearby. I think there's some tomato plants and flowers and shit in the backyard. Dandelions also. I don't make it a habit of pissing on them. usually if I piss, it's in a toilet. Or in the face of the establishment. I did poop in the woods once, and it was an anticlimactic experience. I don't know if it kept other animals away. Might be a fun experiment for Mythbusters. Next up, Chaos Blackwing asks, 1. How quick do you tend to write your stories once you sit down and start typing? That's a crapshoot. A lot of times I'll procrastinate a whole bunch before I actually sit down, and then once I do, I'll pump out quite a bit at a time, you know, a full chapter at once. But then it might be another 5 days before I get back to the story and back to writing again. So it's usually short little bursts and then periods of inactivity. I was really happy. Just before I started recording this, I had just finished up the final touches on a novel that I have been working on very consistently for the last 2 months. It's been very important to me. This is the big one. This has a ton of ideas into it, and I've put my fucking heart and soul into this motherfucker. So it's going into probably a month to 2 months of editing, but the actual writing just got finished today. And yeah, 2 months for a novel of its size, it's about 360 pages, is pretty fucking good, I think. Dangerous Lunatics was about twice that length and took 2 years. 2. If you could force the leaders of a religion to do anything you wanted to, what would it be? Fucking public. All of them. Just fucking public and fucking 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 fuck. With whoever they truly wanted to fuck, too. You know, so they'd be fucking with gays and little boys and sheep and pictures of Hitler and whatever the fuck else they wanted to. You know, to the point where none of them ever had any cred to bash anyone else's sex ever again. That would be so fucking cool to see Fred Phelps just, like, get stricken, and then all of a sudden he just starts fucking the shit out of all his family members, and they start fucking the shit out of each other, too. There's this huge incest, bisexual hate orgy outside of a cemetery. I'm weird. What kind of music, if any, do you tend to listen to while writing? I never listen to writing while music... Let's pause to... acknowledge how stupid I am. I never listen to music while writing. I'll try to write with it sometimes, but if I'm writing something that's kind of keyed to a mood, and then the mood in the story changes, but the music doesn't, then it's just a distraction. 4. What would make a good fourth question? I think you'll have to find your own way on that one.
5. If it were legal to throw something at a politician every time they get called on a bullshit statement, what would be the best thing to throw?
I immediately come to mind that guy who threw his shoes at President Bush. That was pretty cool. Ziploc baggies full of cum. Don't know why that popped into my head, but God, what a great mental image. Can't you fucking see that? Rick Santorum stands up there and says something transparently non-factual, and somebody just, from all sides in the crowd, just start pelting him with bags of cum. Beautiful. Next up, Asura Ludo asks, which production company would you want to animate Summer of the Living Dead?
That is a difficult one because so few Western animation studios are doing anything cel animated. I've really thought about it, and I don't have anything against CGI. I just always picture my stories when I'm writing them visually. I always picture them cel animated. I think I might have even answered this one before. I don't know if DreamWorks still has a animation division, but just looking at the general look of their early animated ones, it was pretty good. Also, Warner Brothers. I guess anything but Disney, because they'd fuck it up. Moving on. Dr. Pepper or Dr. Doom? Who has a better shot at ruling the world? I'll let my co-host answer for me. Really, Bob Clampett or Tex Avery? Both are great, but I think I might have to give my love to the Tex. I've seen a metric ton of Tex Avery cartoons, and goddamn, the man was one of the most inventive cartoonists who ever lived. 4. Of all the plushies you own, who rules them all with a soft, squishy fist? It's hard to have a favorite plushie. I like them all. They're all cuddly and sweet and whatnot. Although, I do have my Gadget plushie, and she is kind of queen of the heap. favorite foreign animated film? Oh, so hard. I love so many of them. For a while there, my favorite anime was Osamu Tezuka's Metropolis. I believe that has been usurped by Paprika. That movie is like having concentrated fun injected into your eyeballs. It is so gorgeous and mind-bending and wonderfully confusing, and it's got great characters. The opening song from that, my ears just gush jism out. It was so wonderful. So yeah, Paprika. Kinto Mythostian asks, what is your computer wallpaper right now? You can actually look it up. It's in my Ink Bunny gallery. It's called Wiggly Wave Holy Living Fuck. And that was a pencil drawing I did. It was a wiggly, wavy drawing. And then I mirrored that endlessly until it became this interesting pattern. And it's a really good desktop because it's interesting to stare at, but also not distracting. 2. Grab the nearest book to you where you're sitting or standing or squatting or jogging in place right now. What is it? I love being able to do this. It's Summer Vacation of the Living Dead and Other Tales. Oh my god. My friend Chaos Blackwing, we'd actually talked about this a long time ago, but I'd forgotten about it, and he said, it's like, hey, can I have your address? I wanted to send you a gift. And something from Lulu.com, which is a self-publishing site, showed up, and I was like, oh no, you didn't! This is Witch in the Woods, Down in the Dumps, Summer Vacation of the Living Dead, and Held in Captivity, all bound in a single paperback volume. It is one of the best things I own. It's so amazing to be holding my stories in print. It is one of the best gifts I've ever been given. Chaos, you are so cool.
3. Which will happen first, an openly atheist president or the seas being filled with boiling blood? An openly atheist president. I mean, that wouldn't defy the laws of physics the way the other one would. And hell, we've got a covertly atheist president right now. Nyuk, nyuk. Now, Obama's probably a Christian, but he's definitely a Christian who at least acknowledges that atheists exist. And, you know, he's not a dick, so he's practically an atheist. Next up, Osprey. May I request transformation-themed Rescue Ranger art? You can request it, but that doesn't necessarily mean I will draw it. Also because I don't have a scanner right now. I haven't drawn because I wouldn't want to go through the frustration of not being able to scan it. But, yeah, if I get a scanner back, it'll happen eventually. It's the sort of thing I do. For now, though, go to Tin Crash's page on Fur Affinity, and he has drawn a 15-part series of Gadget transforming into a human. It's hot and adorable.
Next up, Mr. Ebony asks, well, here are my five. One, I noticed that you are not doing a lot of gobbling stuff these days. Are you turning away from it?
No. It's something I'll fantasize to when I'm lying in bed at night jerking off, but maybe not something that is present in my writing at the moment. And two, hell, shit, I did just do a story about Spaceship Vore. So, yeah, now, will regular Vore pop into my stories eventually? Sure, yeah, it'll come back around. Two, what would be a cool crossover for the Rescue Rangers? Do you think what other G-Force pops into mind? I've seen people do them with the Rescuers, with the Great Mouse Detective. I actually tried once to write a story of the Rescue Rangers going back in time and doing a case with Basil of Baker Street. That didn't get finished, but I'd love to see somebody else do something on that, you know, a big novelish story, you know, very well written and intricate. Three, if you have one train going 23 miles per hour from Shanghai and another going 380 miles per hour from Sydney, when do they crash into one another in a fiery wreck that wipes out both trains? I don't know, but I would imagine that would be somewhere in the ocean. Four, will Bartleby be reincarnated? I mean, will we see him again? He probably won't be reincarnated in canon. I think he'll stay in hell. I don't have any ideas for a Bartleby story right now. I can hear you all going, aww. I'll inevitably write another one. I love writing for Bartleby and his friends because I can just basically plop them down in any situation and they'll have enough fun to write a story for me. So, like with the question about the Transformation Rescue Ranger art, it's the sort of stuff I do. It'll happen again eventually. Five, what do you think a Vorish wedding and or marriage proposal should entail? Being eaten by something? Oh, that'd be adorable. Like two characters get swallowed by a big giant snake. Steak. And then when they get inside the stomach, there's like a flashlight and a box with the engagement ring in it. That'd be adorable. Fedora Fox asks, one of your favorite franchises is being developed into a film series and you get to choose the director. However, the choices are Michael Bay, Roland Emmerich, or George Lucas. Who do you choose? And suicide or homicide is not an option. Michael Bay is a hard-hearted little neocon piece of shit. George Lucas is a narcissistic bunghole. Roland Emmerich, he makes shitty movies, but he kind of does them well. Godzilla's probably the worst one he's ever done. On the other hand, I couldn't help but like 2012. And I was impressed that I was able to like a 2.5-hour movie at all. Not necessarily the length, but yeah, you know, watching The World End for fucking 2.5 hours, you know, I went into that thinking, it's like, this is gonna suck. I watched it because a friend wanted to see it, and I was like, this is fun! I like that. One of the reasons I like 2012 so much is if you look really closely, that movie does one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen. It kills the Pope! The movie 2012, the fucking Pope dies! There's a scene where the Vatican is collapsing from an earthquake, and if you look really close, you can see the Pope in the window, and he actually gets smushed when the building comes down. So, yeah. I have to go with Roland Emmerich by default. He at least has some skill at what he does and some sense of humor. Is it better to regret the things we have done than to regret the things we haven't done? I don't know if there's a substantial difference between the two. What is a fan theory that utterly blows your mind? Example, James Bond is actually a code name. Cameron invented Ferris, and he's living out what Cameron wishes he could be. I was going to mention the James Bond thing, actually. Zeph and I were talking about that last night. There's some theories about the Matrix that I liked, that even once I understood the philosophy that was a huge part of the third film, which I didn't get the first time I saw it, and then I did get the second, which made me like it. There was still some fan theories to that I thought could have made sense. The idea of Zion being a simulation too. And it did kind of make sense. I mean, the bit where Neo is standing there and the Squiddy is coming close and he manages to shut it down with his mind. Come on, guys. Oh, bloody hell. I'm sure there's stuff I've heard of. It was one that didn't necessarily blow my mind, but made me sad. The idea that Scott Pilgrim versus the World is actually, like, Scott Pilgrim is just a deranged, hallucinating serial killer. But, like, every time he punches somebody into coins, he's actually killing some dude.
And he's just hallucinating all this video gamey stuff. He's like, no, no, I don't want that to be true. It's such a happy movie. Moving on. Out of all your plushies, which one is your favorite to cuddle with? I can't answer that. All of them. I love piling them up into a big pile and just falling into them, just losing myself in a sea of fur. What is the most vile, heinous fan fiction you ever read? My friends and I actually managed to get through My Immortal. It's that bad. It's kind of a void in my memory right now, but my God, some of the shit that happened. Also, because of that story, I will laugh forever when I hear Tom Bombadil. You have to read it to understand why. Next up, Monofox asks, what motivates you to write these amazing stories? Usually the stories themselves do. I'll usually have an idea and it'll just kind of bang on my brain until it's like, fine, I'll write you down. Do you think the pedo scare will die down? Yes, I think it's inevitable. To all the people who think, no, it's like, well, you know what? If you were living in the 50s when the Red Scare was at its height, you would think, there's no way that we'll ever allow communists in our midst. And now in the year 2012, we don't give a fuck if somebody's a communist. We don't care one way or other. Again, I don't think it'll be quite the same with pedophiles, because like I mentioned, I still do think adult-child relationship is a bad idea. But I think this idea that it's the worst crime in the world, and especially this, I hate the way that the news lumps pedophile, child molester, child rapist, child killer, you know, internet predator, all this stuff just lumps it into all one and says it's all equally evil. That is stupid as fuck. It is literally as dumb as saying that somebody who punches someone, you know, in the face is as bad as a murderer. And I'll stand behind that statement. It is as dumb as thinking that, of making no distinction whatsoever between somebody looking at an image and somebody penetrating a child against their will. And ask a victim of abuse if they think those two things are fucking equal. So yes, it's transparently stupid, it's transparently based on lies, and people will inevitably get sick of it. The very fact that I'm seeing more people discussing it, I'm seeing it tentatively popping up in the media, where they're allowing characters to occasionally question it, or make a risque joke about it that acknowledges, hey, you know what, maybe this is all bullshit. It's beginning to happen. It's very, very slowly beginning to happen. And I think the news themselves is at fault. They've been so hysterical. It's gotten so stupid that any average person now can see this is dumb. I actually thought of a good corollary. I'll defend, you know, the essential humanity of a pedophile. And of course people say, oh, well, you want to fuck children. You know what? I will argue the essential humanity of a carjacker. And say that he doesn't deserve to go to prison for his whole life, and if he manages to get out, you know, have the government monitor his every move and restrict where he can live and essentially keep him in prison even when he's out of prison, blatantly violating double jeopardy law. I can say that that's inhuman treatment and that we should be ashamed to treat anybody like that, even if they did fucking rob somebody and pull them out of their car and throw them onto the concrete, steal their car and drive away, that doesn't make them a non-human, and that doesn't mean that we should shame ourselves by suspending that person's human rights. It's still a bad thing to do, but we're worse if we start selectively saying, this group of humans isn't really human, so we don't have to treat them like humans anymore. Next question. Are the Palestinians rightful owners of the empty lands they settled and got driven from, or does Israel own it de facto? I don't give a fuck. I tried to care about the Israel-Palestine conflict, and I realized that it doesn't matter. Both sides kill innocents, and so neither of them get my sympathy at all. Fuck them. If one of them didn't, I would say give it to them, pure land principle. But both of them do, both of them justify it. I don't give a shit if somebody dropped a bomb and irradiated the fucking country forever. Let neither of them have it. What exactly makes a visual piece concerning cubs wonderful to you in particular?
I don't know. The
the cuteness, the fuzziness, the cuddliness, the looking at this like, oh god, I want to hug that. There's also the fact that I always see myself as a kid. My mental image is always far younger than this, you know, flabby human shell I currently inhabit. So there's just like, I'm almost looking in a mirror to an extent. It's a thing I mentioned earlier. Arousal is not a thought process. You know, I don't know why I look at pictures of cubs and think, oh god, I want to cuddle and or yiff that. It fucking happens. What do you think will happen around the end of 2012, XD? You know what I think will happen? I think that on December 22nd, 2012, a bunch of stupid people are going to come up with all sorts of interesting rationalizations for why the world didn't end when just the day before they were so very, very deathly afraid of it. Seriously, fuck anybody that dumb. I wish that I owned some kind of publishing company that was, like, making 2012 books and 2012 keychains and 2012 survival kits and whatnot, and I would love to fleece the shit out of them, because anybody that dumb doesn't deserve their money, and I do. Landon Fox, next up, asks, what is your crowning moment of awesome? I already mentioned the grocery store story. God, I'm trying to think of anything that I've done that's been particularly awesome. Well, I've got a story up. I think it's on Ink Bunny. It might just be on Furfany. It's called How to Escape from California. And that was my disastrous trip to California where I ended up in a situation where I had fucking no money and I had to spend the next 4 days on $60, not per day, $60 period, on a military base, and managed to get myself home. And I not only managed to get myself home, I managed to go to Disneyland, too. So that was pretty cool. I suppose that was a moment in my life, but at the time it spanned a week or so. Again, I tend not to have crowning moments. But again, accomplishments. You know, I look over, a little while ago I did a list of all my stories and, like, their page numbers, just wanted to see, like, which ones was longest, and I was just amazed at the sheer number of things that I finished. Like, God, I actually did all of these. Wow! That. Next up, let us assume that there exists a punishment zone in hell called the Michael Bay Zone. Inside this zone, you are forced to live inside Michael Bay movies. Who would you use this punishment on? That could have been the last question. It's so good. And I have the perfect answer. It's one word. Hippies. It may not necessarily be that I hate hippies, but my God, that would be the perfect punishment for them. A neocon, military fetishistic explosion fest where all minorities are buffoonish caricatures. Hippies would lose their fucking shit in Michael Bay land. Then again, they might enjoy it. It's like, what? I can kill things and not be PC anymore? Fuck the Jews! last question from Joppy. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that terribly. In your previous question/answer recording, someone asks you what you would do with a genie in 3 wishes. You said you would first test with the first wish, and then you'd wish you could change reality. Third wish to go to the genie. Genie wishes for himself freedom. Now let's say that the genie was evil and now has as much or more power than you and wants to take over the universe and control it with an iron fist. In principle, destroy all that is good for some unspecified reason. How would you confront it with your own reality-altering powers? You cannot harm anyone, nor go back in time and change the wish. Same rules apply to the genie. That's a hell of a dilemma. And, I normally don't, you know, I'll look at the questions when I first get asked them that and then not dwell on them, but I wanted to do this one for this because I wanted to think of a good answer. Now, my wish was that I could alter reality any way that I can imagine, and it would happen exactly the way I wanted it, just me willing it to, and the only limitations would be that I couldn't cause permanent physical harm to another living being. So, if I have the power to alter reality, to do anything I want. And the only limit is my imagination. So he's determined to conquer the universe. If I get into a big battle with him, that's not going to end well. Because we're just going to, you know, fuck each other up back and forth. And it'll be like, you know, two characters in a video game with God mode turned on trying to beat each other to death. Ain't going to goddamn happen. in a confrontation with a powerful enemy, one of the best ways to win is to let them win. Let them get what they want, because only then the fight will be over. In this sense, they want the universe. So what I would do is find a way to sort of create a coding over reality. Create a perfect copy of the entire universe over top of the universe. You know, distract him with something, and then flip it out. And it would be absolutely indistinguishable from the real thing. And then he would go off and conquer that. And then, like a net, once he was inside it, I would pull in the edges and 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 pull in the edges until I had the whole thing resting in my hand. And he would be inside and conquering the whole universe laid out before him, and I would have made it so perfectly that he would never know the difference. To him, he's off conquering the universe and being the lord of everything, and all he's doing is being the lord of a computer simulation, which I now hold in the palm of my hand, and I would shape that, and I would, like, you know, cover that in Lucite glass and use that for a paperweight and have that on my desk, and he's off there having the time of his life, and I've got him sitting at my desk. How's that for an answer? Well, that's all the time we have. It's goddamn near 2 hours long. Eek! I hope you enjoyed listening to that. I certainly enjoyed doing it. For my outro, I think I'll finish the rest of my Dr. Pepper, see how quickly I can do that. There we go. That's all for tonight, folks. I'm Alex Renard, and I don't have a snappy sign-off. Good night.